Amen. Alright, we're going to consider something. We'll start today. And can you hear me under the gallery? How did you hear what I said now? Can you hear me upstairs? If you can hear me, do your hand like this upstairs. Or under the gallery, if you can hear me, let me see your hand. Huh? Alright, no problem. It's good that we have outgrown. Amen. Okay. We're going to consider something. We'll start from today. That will maybe run for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Winning the heart of God. Winning the heart of God. Winning the heart of God. Considering what it takes so that we can be on God's good books, as it were, in our walk with God, as we relate with God, what does it take to be in God's good book? Amen. I said amen. So it's important that we know how we need to live our lives so that when God sees us from heaven, God will be proud of us. God, even when King Saul offended God, God already had a replacement. Let me put it this way. We know the story of King Saul. King Saul was a king. Samuel told them what the king would do to them, all the troubles the king would take them through, how the king would deal with them, how the king would hurt them. They said, we don't care, just give us. And that's what happens sometimes when we are desperate for answer. And that's the truth. When we feel that our life is going upside down and we are in a mess, we want answer, we don't care how it comes. Now, if Saul was not ordained by God to be God's king, he was the people's king, how come he was still anointed? Anointing comes from God, not from man. Sometimes when you project your will, God will back you up. When you project your will, God will back you up. But your will can only take you to a spot. And when you get to that spot, you crash. In fact, Samuel 13:14, Acts 13:22, God said concerning David, he said, I have found a man after my heart. So David was the first man that won the heart of God. But when I began to look at the life of David, Acts 13:22, 1 Samuel 13:14. When I began to look at the life of David, going by the way David lived his life, David was not actually supposed to be a man after God's heart. Because of all the many inconsistencies in the life of David. David was supposed to be somebody that God would be angry at forever. But God said, I just love this man. You see, in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts, and my ways and your ways. Some things we endorse as right before God is wrong. Some things we see wrong before man is right before God. And that's why you must be careful not to be too quick to judge or to be too quick to draw conclusion, because there are some people the Holy Ghost can be doing certain things in their life strangely, not to your understanding. You don't need to understand. Look at a man like David. David lived a life, if you study your Bible very well, in 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you read the life of David, I think this is verse 27 or verse 17, I can't know now. The Bible says, this thing that David did, 2 Samuel 11, this thing that David did displeased the Lord. After David messed up with Bathsheba, killed her husband, the Bible says it displeased the Lord. God was unhappy that he had done something like that, but God says, I still love him. You know why? If you read chapter 12, when Nathan came to David, there was a way David reacted. And God said, this one, I love him. If you look at David and Saul, the way Saul was anointed was not dramatic. It was not dramatic. Because Saul's father, the artist, were missing. And Saul went to the servant. They saw Samuel in the high place. Samuel poured the oil. Samuel gave him prophecies. David's anointing was very local. Just went to his house. He was in the bush. They waited for him, poured the oil. It was not dramatic. But David made more impact. So noise is not impact. Drama is not testimony. Noise is not impact. You can be a Mary, you can be a Martha. A Martha is a woman with many matters. Busy, 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 everywhere for God, but nowhere with God. Mary wasn't everywhere, she sat down. I want to ask a question. Jesus comes to a house and is preaching. Somebody is cooking for Jesus to eat. The other one is not cooking. She's just sitting down as a human being who is right. How can you say both of them are right? You are wrong. I want to ask a question. Jesus is preaching. Somebody is cooking food for Jesus to eat. Another is not cooking. She's not sweeping. She's not cleaning. She just sit down, lazy. No, before you, who is right? The one that's cooking. But Jesus said that one cooking is wrong. The one either is right. You see why you should not judge? Because some things that are right before us are wrong before God. Be careful. Learn to allow people walk with God the way they know how. Never judge people's relationship with God because you do not know what God told them. That's why I'm very, very slow
And people say, can't you see the way this person is living and is the head of the department? Can't you see the way that person is living and is a coordinator? Can't you see this? Can't you see that? Why are they not doing anything? We see, we are not blind. We see, but we don't judge. We pray, we counsel, and we allow time to change people. So before me, Mary was idle. So you can be everywhere and you are nowhere. You can be doing everything and before God you are doing nothing. You can be active and you are not effective. And God said concerning David, is a man after my heart. To me, David was not. Now, does it mean that God endorsed what David did with Bathsheba? No. Actually, God said to David, he said, this thing you have done, 2 Samuel chapter 12, I think verse 12, he said, this thing you have done, you did it in secret. But what I will do to you, I will do it in the sight of all Israel. What you did with Bathsheba was in secret. But when I'm replying you, I will reply you before all Israel. Everyone will see it. For thou did in secret, but I will do this before all Israel. Amnon, his son, raped the sister. Those are consequences of David's sin. Absalom killed Amnon for raping the sister. On the rooftop. Where was David walking when he saw Bathsheba? Where? Rooftop. Where did Absalom sleep with the wife? Rooftop. God forgives sin, but does not cancel consequence. And I've said this. Well, this is Bible study, so let's. If you hurt someone, apologize. If you offend somebody, apologize. Make peace. Don't go and pray to God you can't see. And meanwhile, the person you hurt, you can see is there. Make peace. Hello? Are you listening? You promise to marry somebody. And when you feel you are tired of the person, you just look for one thing. And you walk away. And you marry somebody else. And tomorrow you are married, you have no child. You are fasting, you are praying, you are seeking the face of God. Someone is angry. Look for her. Make peace. That's the truth. That's the truth. So David, despite all this he did, God said, I love him. He's a man. Can we get the Amplified or the Message translation of 1 Samuel 13:14 and Acts 13:22? The Message translation or the Amplified. God removed him from office and put King David in his place with this commendation. I have searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse, is a man whose heart beats to my heart. A man who will do what I tell him. 1 Samuel 13:14. Message. 1 Samuel 13:14. As it's your kingly rule, it's already falling. As it is, your kingly rule is already falling to pieces. God is out looking for your replacement. May God not look for your replacement. Yeah. This time, he will do his choosing. When he finds him, he will appoint him leader of his people. Because you did not keep the commandments of God. Okay. So, David was somebody. So, with all this David did. Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody says a Christian, he carried somebody's wife, she got pregnant, he killed the husband, the husband died, and what?
before you in this lifetime, in your eyes, can that man ever be right? In this lifetime, I'm not saying in 1 year time, in this lifetime, he can never. Some things God does. I ask myself, how can Jesus know the heart of Judas and you give him the purse? With that kind of heart, Judas should be in prayer band. Maybe one day the heart will change. How can a thief, you now give a thief money? You can't explain God. A thief, money. I can't even make Judas a member of Sanctuary Cleaner. He will steal no more. Now, I'm telling you something. When you begin to understand the way God thinks, you close your mouth. There are some things you see, you may not be comfortable. The highest you can do is to start praying for the person. God said, this man, despite all you think you know, before me, is a man after my heart. Why? This God is awesome. The same prophet ordained them. So what was special? The same prophet of God that ordained Saul, ordained Samuel. Saul came from his father's house. Samuel took him up to a pavement, prepared something for him, gave him to eat. It was dramatic. When they came for David, he was in the bush. They brought him from the bush. He came very rude. Looking at Kent, was anointed. The anointing of God upon Saul to me was very dramatic. Saul was even matured when he was anointed. David was 17. But God said, there's something I saw in David that made him a man after. He won my heart. You will win the heart of God. This man won my heart. He won my heart. He won my heart. Number one, in 1 Samuel 16:7, God does not see as man sees. 1 Samuel 16:7, he said, but God looketh at the heart. The first thing God saw in David and made God say, this man won my heart, was that David had a right heart. Somebody, I didn't hear you say right heart. David had a right heart. In our walk with God, we walk with God, we connect to God with our hearts. We connect to God with our hearts. In Proverbs 27:19, it says, in water faith answered to faith, so is the heart of man to man. God is a God that we connect to with our hearts. With our hearts. Deuteronomy 8:2. He said, God wanted to prove you and know what is in your heart, whether you obey the commandment, yes or no. So we connect to God with our heart, not our head. The reason God was angry with man in creation, when God created man, God was not angry because man grew taller. God was not angry because man grew shorter. In Genesis 6:5, he said, God was angry with man because the imagination of his heart was evil. Continually, it was the imagination of man's heart God was angry about. God connects to us with our heart. Our heart is God's tool in relationship with us. Our heart is God's tool, is God's avenue to relate with us. When God wanted to ruin a man called Pharaoh, the Bible says God hardened his heart. Everything stems from the heart. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Exodus 7:3. God said, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh and I will multiply my signs and wonders in the land. In Psalm 26:2. He said, try me, prove me, and set my heart. Try me, prove me, and Lord, try my heart. So David had a good heart. That was why when they looked at all the brothers, all of them came and pretended to be king. All of them came dressed like king. I just imagine, then imagine God said, I'm coming to the house of Jesse
and I'm coming to pick a king, and God did not give details. God didn't say anything. And all the brothers of Joseph, we are already dressed like king. Peradventure, when Samuel see us, our appearance, when Samuel see us, our appearance will move Samuel to anoint us as king. David was not around. They were seated waiting for, and that's something about the anointing. If the anointing will come upon you, you must have a mentality of work. You must have a work mentality. You must have an assignment consciousness. There are people that want the anointing of God upon them and they sit down wishing for it. It doesn't come for wishers. It comes for workers. For the anointing of God to come on you, you must have a work consciousness. You must have an assignment mentality. You must have a mentality that tells you that you've got to be busy doing something. And that's very, very important. Are you listening? Are you listening? That's very, very important. So, he got to the house and anointed David. David was anointed. And God said, all these ones appear like kings, but I see the earth. In other words, for God to say concerning that atmosphere, God said, I don't see as man see, I see the heart. It means amongst all the sons of Jesse, the heart of David was standing out. What kind of heart did David have? Number one, let's consider the heart of David and see the kind of heart he had. David had a heart of love, uncommon love for God. Uncommon love for God. Do you know how I know you love God? I know you love God when you pray and you don't get answers. I don't know you love God when you pray and answers come. I know you love God when you pray and no answer. The way you react after unanswered prayer shows if you love God or not. The way you react when prayers are not answered. David prayed. Bathsheba was pregnant. David prayed. The child was sick. 2 Samuel chapter 12. The child was sick. And David began to pray. David fasted for 7 days. On the 7th day, the child died. David stood up, washed himself, went to the house of God, and began to worship God. All his servants said, this man is confused. When this child was sick, you were crying. Now the child is dead. You are jubilating. David said, God is God. He has done what pleases him. Who am I? The next verse, the Bible says, and Bathsheba became pregnant and gave birth to Solomon, and the Lord loved him. Why? Verse 24, 2 Samuel 12, 24. Why did God love Solomon? What extra thing was done? Why would God love Solomon? What makes Solomon special? The atmosphere that produced Solomon was an atmosphere that depicted and revealed the love of God. You know, when I want to know people who will go far in their relationship with God, I check how they act when they are praying and no answers are coming. Are they still excited? Are they still happy? Do they still show love for God? Some people get deflated. Some get angry. Some get unhappy. Some get sad. Some can't even pray. Why? They are not married. Things are not working. From their posture, their countenance, you just see that these ones, they are heavy laden. God answers a prayer or God does not answer. I get so put off. When I see Christians, I'm down, I'm frustrated, I'm tired, of life. I don't know why my life is like this. All those confessions. Now, don't get me wrong. I know somebody will say, are you saying that if somebody is frustrated now, he should not say he's frustrated? You have said it severally. What has changed? A brother showed me a scripture. He said, the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. I said to him, I said, remain weak. If you're accepting weakness is the solution, then remain weak. Let the weak say, I am strong. When you are down and it appears everything is failing,
nothing is working. The only way to come out of that situation is to confess the opposite of what you are going through. That's what faith is. Faith never says it as it is. Faith is not lying. Calling those things that be not as though they were. Faith says it as it should be. Where is your car? I don't have one yet. Do you have money? Not yet. How much is your bank account? I can't really remember. So you see, we have to say things the way they are. I no get. Unrighteousness, not the prison door of Herod. But the prison door of unrighteousness, of sin, of transgression, not a literal, physical, beautiful prison door. So when he waited, the door was not open. He sent his disciples. Now listen to this. Are you the one? Or should he expect another? Jesus said, watch me. Watch me. He opened blind eyes. He made the lame walk. He made the deaf see. And he imparted them. He imparted the disciples of John. How do I know he imparted them? He imparted them and made sure they did the same miracle in his presence. How? When they were going back, he said, go and show John. He didn't say, go and tell John. He didn't say, go and tell John. Go and show John. There were no video cameras. There were no phones. There were no recorders. So what are they showing John? Go and do the same thing so that John can see. Go and show John. Go and show John. Now listen to this. When they got to the prison, there were blind people in the prison. They were lame. They were deaf. They were dumb. Before John's eyes, they opened blind eyes. They made lame walk. Even after doing this miracle, that power could not still help them to take John out of prison. Now, go and show John that blessed is the man that is not offended. I am never following this God for over 3 decades. I've never one day said, God, why? Never. I've never said, God, why? If I see a pastor going through problems, sometimes I want to buy it. I feel like carrying it on my head. I feel, no, this man, just bring it, let me take it. I feel very bad when I see people going through pain. But when it's me, I feel very excited. Because something tells me, all things work together for good to them that love God. And to them, not who are called, who are the called. There are those that are called, and there are those who are the called. We know all this work together for good to them that love God. And to them who are what? Who are called? Who are the called? Sometimes you quote scriptures and you don't know why things are not happening. Because you are not saying it as it is in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that are the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, every knee should bow. And every tongue confess. Is that verse 8? Verse 9. Give me verse 9. 10. You sure you have a problem? Some of you are praying. Father, you said in your word that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. The demon said, I'm not going out because it's not shall bow. It should bow. It's not shall bow. It should bow. When the name of Jesus is mentioned and the man mentioning it is living in right standing with that name, demons should bow.
Not that once you mention the name, it doesn't matter the life you are living. Demons shall bow. No. Demons should bow. It means there are principles that must be in place before this name works. So somebody can be shouting Jesus before an armed robber. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Armed robbers meet him, slap him. In fact, he will say in Jesus' name, the robber will say, amen. How much do you have? They will collect everything from him. Why? Because the man calling the name is not living right. And the name does not work. That's why it is should, not shall. Shall makes it automatic. Shall makes it certain. But should makes it conditional. Do you understand that? Okay. So number one, David had a heart that loved God. Somebody say, I will love God. Say, I will love the Lord. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. No matter what I go through, no matter what I experience, I will not be offended in God. Never consider what you lost despite your prayer. Consider what you got without praying. Never consider what you lost despite your prayer. Consider what you got without praying. Never be a user. God hates users. Anytime you need God, that's when you run to him. When God gives you a testimony, you walk away from him. So God will keep waiting for you. When next you come, he will tell you there's no way out for you. Love the Lord unconditionally. That's the kind of Christianity God wants of us. Love God unconditionally. Whether there is money, there's no money. You are healed, you are not healed. Love God unconditionally. I also prayed for somebody one time in the healing service and he was on a wheelchair. I said, God heal you now. Where's the first place you will go? I've told you the story before. What did he say? Obituary. Obito. He said, he missed. So I said, okay, go to obituary on your wheelchair. And I walked away from there. When God heal you, God Almighty, the first place you can see the heart of a user. David had a good heart. The first heart was the heart that displayed a conditional love for God. The second was a heart that is teachable. 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 Job said in Job 13:15, he said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will maintain my own ways before him. Even though God slays me, yet will I trust him. Even though he slay me, my love for God is unconditional. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. David had a heart that was very teachable. When he fell into sin, Nathan came to him. Nathan said, there was a man, you know, he gave him a parable. How a man took advantage of somebody who had just one sheep. And when David said, how can that happen? He said to David, Psalm 51 that we all read today, creating me a clean heart and all of that, was a fallout of the conversation that Nathan had with David. David was teachable. His heart was broken. No wonder God used Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5. Isaiah said, woe is me. I don't know how correct that English is. Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of unclean. You see a person who is teachable. Whenever you are wrong, don't argue. Did you hear what I said? Stop arguing. When you are wrong, stop arguing. The meek will lead God in judgment. The meek will lead teach his ways. Be teachable. Be someone who accepts wrong. Because there's something about God. People think God is just a God that shows mercy even when we don't ask forgiveness. Until you tell God you are sorry, mercy doesn't come on you. Mercy is not automatic. Until you acknowledge how sorry you are. We live in a generation now that are very unteachable. People are wrong and they are arguing. They are claiming rights. People never admit that they are wrong. And one of the things we see about the people who want the heart of God was whenever they make mistakes, they own up to it. And that's why marriages are breaking. It doesn't take you anything. Your husband says you did this wrong. I'm sorry. It doesn't take anything. But you begin to argue. You start arguing. You start shaking your legs. Shaking your head. Okay. Shabi, sorry you want. Sorry. But sir, that's the truth. Unteachable. And when Bible was talking about children and the spirit of the last days, is that 2 Timothy 3:1? And the last days, perilous time shall come. 2 Timothy 3:1. He said, men shall be lovers of themselves. 2 Timothy 3:1. Let's see the characteristics. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Give me a message translation on this. Dog eat dog. Unbending. Are you seeing that? Slanderous. Impossibly wild. Savage. Cynical. Do me, I do you. That's dog eat dog. You do me, bang. I do you, bang, bang. You do me, I do you. Okay? So, the Bible says that one of the strengths of David is that David was teachable. David was meek. And that is what God expects of us if we must win his heart. I decree a teachable spirit. I decree a teachable heart. Number 3. David had a good heart. David was thankful. David was thankful. Psalm 119 verse 164. 7 times a day will I thank the Lord. 7 times. I praise this 7 times. Some people pray 5 times a day. But as believers, God says, how many times should we thank God daily? How many? Look at that now. How many a day? 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous job. Just take our time in the morning. Father, I just want to thank you. I bless you. Everyone around me will tell you one word that's common most of the time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. When I sit down, sometimes when people are around, they've noticed that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It's very common. You must learn to always appreciate God. I say that all the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You don't need to see anything happen. It's not because you just got a car. Whether something happened or not, when you thank God, God owes you. O-W-E-S. When you thank God, God owes you. Because God will not take any thanks that is not due him. Any thanks that is not due God, God will not take it from man. David had a thankful heart. Only great fools are ungrateful. Let everything that has breath. That means everything that has breath, praise the Lord, means if you don't praise God, you will soon lack breath. The only reason you have breath is to praise God. So if you do not praise God all the time, you will soon lack breath. As you are going to bed after praying, Lord, thank you. Wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you. You are in the kitchen, Lord, I thank you. Whenever you are going on the street, Lord, I thank you. Let that become your lifestyle. David was a man who was thankful. A man who was constantly, regularly grateful to God. The Bible says when God said to Hezekiah, he said, put your house in order, you shall surely die. Hezekiah turned his face unto the wall. While he turned his face unto the wall, he began to talk to God. And in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 38, he said, Lord, the grave cannot praise you. The grave cannot praise you. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. God said, I am sparing your life because of gratitude. Gratitude is an attitude. Gratitude determines your altitude, your height in life. Gratitude determines your altitude. Everyone that wants to be a high flyer in the kingdom of God must be a man who understands thanksgiving. Stop sitting down expecting things to happen on their own. In the kingdom, things don't happen. We are in a kingdom that's real. So the principles are equally real. Things don't happen on their own. You have to work them out. I heard people say, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride on them. That's a lie. If wishes were horses, then the problem of beggars would be complicated, because horses are expensive. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. How can beggars ride on horses? It's even easier to ride on cars. Do you know what it takes to feed a horse? If wishes were horses, then the problem of beggars would be complicated, because horses are expensive. Amen. I think one of the problems we have in Christianity is because most of us, we have not left much to follow Christ. Do you know why Elisha held onto his pursuit for the anointing? Elisha was an employer of labor. He had two tractors working for him. Elijah met him in the office. He had servants. He was paying salary. So when he was leaving all that, he knew, I have to put my life in this, because I know what I left to follow this God. Gehazi left nothing. He just came. Anything I see, he must talk. How? Elisha asked, concerning this woman that has been taking care of us, what can we do for her? It was Gehazi who said, she has no child. How did he know? He has gone around the rooms. What Elisha never saw, even in the spirit, Gehazi saw it in the flesh. Alright. So let's have a thankful heart. Lift your hands wherever you are. Say, Father, I thank you. I'm not hearing you at all. Say, Father, I thank you. I'm grateful for life. Thank you for what I'm going through. Have mercy on me for complaining. For complaining. I know you love me. I love you too. I know it's working for my good. Thank you, Father. Alright, take your seat. Let's round up. He had a good heart. A heart that was grateful. Solomon took after his father in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. Solomon wrote hymns, 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,500. That speaks of a life of gratitude. In Psalm 34 verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Number two, principle that God saw in David and made him win God's heart. David depended on the anointing. No matter your expertise, your competence, you still need the anointing. No matter your expertise, your competence, your mastery, no matter your intelligence, you still need the anointing. No matter how experienced you are, sir, there's an anointing for business. There's an academic anointing. There's an anointing for artistry. Do you know cooking has an anointing? To be a fashion designer, to make clothes, there's an anointing. That you can lie down and and God start giving you designs in the dream. It's an anointing. So experience is good, competence is good, mastery is good. It's good to go through all the books and learn through the ropes, but you need that. After you've gone through all that, you need to be spiritually empowered. Hello? It's important. There are people that lay down and God give them songs. Someone came to see me yesterday and we're talking. I said, how did these songs come? He said, I don't know, daddy. I just lie down and they come. When I wake up, I just sing it. When I release it, the whole place is shaking. I don't know how it comes. That is the anointing. The anointing is supernatural empowerment. The anointing is the tangible bodily presence of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is uncommon endowment. Look at my father and the Lord. WGO. He stays on one spot and he's just talking. I was in a conference one time that Joe was ministering and he was just talking. He said there's a woman who is at the extreme of the auditorium, that she is pregnant. The pregnancy is overdue. That ushers should run. Before they get there, the baby will be out. As they were running, the head of the baby was outside. Inside the baby, gently. Now, if me, I now stand. Thank you, daddy. I bless your name. Some of you will sleep off. No, it's true now. You sleep off. In fact, when I start talking like that, you'll be worried. What's happening? Hey, Papa is not well. Papa is tired. But he's doing that under the anointing and lives. I'll not forget Holy Ghost service they had in Kaduna or Kano, I can't remember. Oh Lord. I was crying. The level of miracles. Someone came, minister, Papa came. And I started getting word of knowledge for the first time in my life that blew my mind. See, there's somebody who's been complaining that you are not tall. You have been complaining about your height. Your wife is taller than you. Your wife has been laughing at you. But right now you are going to be taller than your wife. I say, what is it? I said, okay, I won't see. I stood, people are praying. Now lie, I was stretching my neck. When the man and the wife was coming, the wife was looking at the man. She fold her hands. The wife was taller than the husband. The husband became taller than the wife. Now you ask yourself, how come? I don't know, but I saw it. Me too, I went to pray. I said, the thing that entered that man must enter me. I prayed. I was in the service. There's somebody here. Your wife is taller than you. God wants to increase height. Nobody came out. Now, you know why? Hold on. You know why? I was moving in that physical challenge without the anointing. But have I seen that happen in my ministry? Of course I've seen it. If you watch our Jehovah the Doctor clips, you see a young chap I was praying for when one leg was longer than the other. If you watch, some of you at Jehovah the Doctors were there. And I called Dr. Abraham, I said, come and see how legs grow out. And we pray, and the leg grew out before camera. Because the anointing had come. But before the anointing came, there's someone here. Your wife is taller than you. Now you are taller than your wife. Come out. Sir, no matter your expertise, no matter how charged you are, people must understand, you can be charged
That charge should drive you into getting the anointing. The charge should push you, prompt you into going for the anointing. David was anointed 3 times. Saul was anointed once. David was anointed in 1 Samuel 16:13, was anointed in the midst of his brethren. 2 Samuel 2:4, was anointed again to be king over all of Judah. 2 Samuel 5:3, was now anointed king over Israel. The anointing that came upon the life of David was more sacrificial, because the anointing upon the life of Saul, Samuel took it from a ziah, a flask of oil. It was handmade, a flask. But the anointing that came upon David was taken from a horn of oil. An animal had to die. So the anointing upon David was an anointing that was sacrificial. You need the anointing. Isaiah 10:27. It shall come to pass in that day that the body shall be taken from your shoulder, the yoke from your neck. Isaiah 10:27. And the yoke shall be destroyed, because you need the anointing. Once the anointing comes upon your life, you are preserved. The anointing covers a man. The anointing preserves a man. The anointing protects a man. When King Saul died, David was mourning Saul. And David said concerning Saul in 2 Samuel 1:21. He said, Saul, you died like a man that was not anointed with oil. When you are anointed, the anointing of God rests upon your life. You cheat death. How many of you know that death cheats everyone? Death cheats everyone. When you need people most, you lose them. But you can cheat death. A man called Enoch cheated death. You can cheat death. Once you are anointed, you experience life extension. Once you are anointed, life elevation. Once you are anointed, you experience longevity. How come, sir, you died like one not anointed with oil? I release the anointing of God upon you. In Matthew 25, there were 2 class of people. 10 virgins, 5 year wise, 5 year foolish. Matthew 25:25. The ones that were foolish because they didn't carry extra oil. So there are wise Christians, there are foolish Christians. Wise Christians carry extra oil. That you fasted last week doesn't mean you should not fast this week. You can fast for extra oil. The mercies of God are new every morning. So also our walk with God is new every morning. Your fasting of yesterday handled yesterday's problems. You need fresh encounter with God to stay afloat in the spirit realm. You need to spend time with God continually. You fasted last month, fast again. I say, when am I going to stop fasting? When you stop breathing. So long you are still in this world, your relationship with God must continually be fresh. For my hair shall thou exalt like the head of a unicorn. Psalm 92:10. And my eyes shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eyes shall see my desire upon my enemies. And my ears shall hear my desires upon the wicked that hate me. For they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. The Bible says they shall flourish in the court of our God. Psalm 92:12. They shall bring forth their fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Verse 13 and 14. So the anointing of God is important. Amen. And there are 2 sources of the anointing. Number one, your relationship with the world. The more of God's word you know, the more the anointing in you increases. The more of scriptures you know, the more of the word of God you know, the more the anointing in you increases. If you want the anointing to increase, anointing is ability. The anointing is the power of God. And in science, we know power is the ability to do work. Is that true? Power is the ability to do work. So if the anointing is the power of God, it means the anointing is the ability of God to carry out an assignment. How do you get that anointing? From the word. Acts 19:20. So grew mightily the word of God and prevailed. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. You need the word of God in your life. You need the word of God continually. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my word shall not pass away. You need the word of God in your spirit. When the word of God fills your heart, when the word of God fills your spirit, and that becomes, the Bible says in Job 6:25, how forcible are right words. When the word of God fills your heart, it finds expression through your mouth. The wisdom of God is displayed on the platform of your knowledge of God's word. The wisdom of God, Luke 21:15, I will give unto you a mouth and a wisdom, a mouth and a wisdom that your adversary cannot gainsay or resist. I will give you a mouth. I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that your adversary, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? That what? Present continuous tense. Can I get the message of that? The message translation. Hey! Hey! Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words. Steady stream of words continuously. I asked somebody a question. I said, have you, this when you say you are bored, you're always bored, everything, I'm bored. I said, have you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? I said, no. I said, you are bored. If you're up to 1 year old in faith and you have not finished this Bible, you're a Muslim. You're not a believer. That you have not read Genesis to Revelation. You have not, and you are bored. Bored doing what? You are not bored. You are spiritually weak. You can be on your phone for 5 hours, but if you carry the Bible, you sleep off. Steady stream. Can we get the Amplified? Matthew 4:4. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. That's what it says. Okay, man shall not live by bread alone, and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but every word that comes forth. I pray. Please receive the appetite for the word. Receive the appetite for the word. Receive the appetite for the word. Take your seat. God said in Psalm 138:2, I've exalted my word above my name. You know, let me tell you something. If somebody is sitting by you and message is going on, let me tell you, a believer that will not go far. It's very easy to know. When I was growing up, when I was younger in the faith, I'm still growing. When I was younger in the faith, there were two brothers I have. One of them, good. The other brother, when the archbishop is preaching, he will be praying. He doesn't write. We are taking notes. He doesn't write. He will be praying. I mean, he can pray. Now, he's abroad. He has 3 wives. Now, yes. Yeah, that's what prayer without the word brings. Polygamy. Now, he has 3 wives. The other brother now is a lawyer on fire. There were things we wrote we still make reference to today. Acts 17:11, the burial Christian. We are more noble than the Christians in Thessalonica. That thing that makes you feel you do not need to take the word of God with utmost respect is an arrogance that will cut short your destiny.
Time flies. Time flies. I was telling mom today, I said, mom, I said, you see, this life now, I sit back and I watch things happen. There is nothing more I want to prove. There's nothing more I have to prove. I don't have to prove if God called me. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to prove. The works are there. The fruits are there. Counsel. Psalm 119 verse 89. Thy word. Psalm 119 verse 89. Is settled in heaven. Now listen. Every word of God must be tried. Must be tested. Several times. Alright. Let, he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us fear lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest, lest any one of you should seem to cut short of it. For this gospel was preached unto us as it was unto them. It did not profit them anything because they did not mix it. So even if the word of God is coming, it has to be activated. Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, when you are coming to meet me, bring my books, especially my parchments. Be a word addict. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. When the word is planted in you, success grows. I knew I would never fail. I knew I cannot be stranded. I knew. Why? I located it from God's word in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty. So the word of God is a source for the anointing and the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit. The first is the word of God. If you want to be anointed, get it from the word and get it from the Holy Spirit. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your conversation, your constant conversation with the Holy Spirit. How you intermingle with the Holy Spirit. And I told you one of the easiest ways to get access to the Spirit is to get away from people. That was the principle of Jesus. He was always alone. Most times, you need to go away from people to have an uncommon relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to turn off your phone at times. Jesus would go to a secluded and a solitary place to pray. Jesus would go to a quiet place to pray. Sometimes you just need to move away from people and be on your own. Take out time to seek the face of God. Why would Jesus go to the mountain? Why would he go to the wilderness? Sometimes you need to get away from people. Are you listening? Get away from people. He said, oh, Papa, I live in a house that's too crowded. Sometimes come to church. Sometimes come to church. Just walk around and you are praying the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Just walk around. When your house is overcrowded, just walk around and you are praying in the Holy Spirit. It helps a lot. It helps you. In relating with the Holy Spirit, your atmosphere is very important. You are in a place of all kinds of useless music going on, useless songs going on. It can affect your spiritual connection. Watch all kinds of movies. You watch all kinds of horror movies. You watch all kinds of what do you call this? Z-word. Of course. When Z-word is your addiction, spirit husband and spirit wife is inevitable. Truth now, all your mind is filled with love, love, romance, love, romance, love, romance, love, romance. That's all. That's all in your head. A dream comes by multitude of business. What you engage your heart in, the Lord, you will dream about it. God, all is love, romance, love, romance. In fact, you know the name of all the actors. See, this one is a liar. He was the one that killed that one sister. You are so accurate with the word Bible, you don't know. Scriptures, you don't know. What a shame. You are watching people that are busy making money. They are earning money. Do something with your life so that your world can hear about you. They are making money. Am I communicating here? Addicted to all kinds of things that have no spiritual value. Have no spiritual essence. You see, believers carry phone, they plug their, what do you call that rope? Plug it, earpiece. Pull it out and hear what they are listening to. An ungodly music. Something that doesn't make sense. Some will be so addicted to reality shows. They'll sit down. These are Christians. The people in those shows are making money. You even see that you are voting for them. You are voting for them. You spend your airtime. Huh? You are voting for them. You are so addicted to them. And they are making money. I declare that your relationship with the Holy Spirit will be strengthened. Number three, and then I'll pray. David had a battle mentality. God loved David because David loved to fight. God's children are not civilians. God's children are militants. Let me say this to you. Don't look for trouble. But whoever looks for your trouble should not escape. Can I repeat that? Don't look for trouble. But whoever looks for your trouble should not escape. Don't attack people. But if anyone attacks you, attack back. God said, I love David. David saw Goliath. People get running. David ran to Goliath. You come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you. Amen. Someone said to me, said that they said we cannot take that land. I said, why? Yesterday. He said, we cannot take that church land. I said, why? He said, there's a man there who says is the principality. And I asked him, they know they kill him. Don't they kill him? He said, I don't understand. I said, 209, donate him to God. Somebody opens his mouth and says, I remember one church we had to open around Uromi side. And a young man came and said, they should tell me that before we put a church there, they must bring him down. Very easy. I went there with four boys. They beat him. I said, what did he say? He said, they must bring you down. I said, very easy. I said, handle him. They pull him by the trousers at the corner. Church not there, church not there. Boom! They uprooted him. When I came for the crusade, we gave him suit. He was one of my protocol. He was following me. The gospel must be preached. Am I talking to somebody here? The gospel must be preached. No, you must hammer the Amalekites. Jeb the Jebusites. Eat the Hittites. Are you following what I'm saying? So, God, I don't like... Christians do not understand that being spiritual doesn't make you a weakling. Being spiritual doesn't make you a weakling. No man that worries and tangles himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him that has called him to be a soldier. Nobody should take advantage of your Christianity. Don't let people take advantage of your Christianity. David won all the wars he fought, 66 battles, and he won them. There are times when you pray in the night, you take authority over the powers that stop others in your family. Call your family name and say, I put a curse upon the powers that want to keep everyone in this family tree perpetually poor. I disconnect myself. In the name of Jesus, I snatch life out of the strong man. You have stopped others before me, but you can't stop me. You have gone far, but you go no further. God is looking for people who understand the place of warfare. Not those who are begging the devil to give them what he took. But they are placing demand and issuing command. And say, Satan, enough is enough. Am I communicating here? You don't beg for a healing. Don't beg for healing. Collect your health. Don't beg for marriage. Collect your marriage. Don't beg for a child. Collect your baby. God is looking for people. People that will stand their ground. Say what God said in the Bible. Moses was a gentleman. And they manipulated him. And Moses ended up without entering the promised land. Elijah came with all the fire. Jezebel manipulated him. He ran. And he was taken to heaven by a whirlwind. God was unhappy. John the Baptist came. A little girl ordered for his head. And they cut off his head. And God said, from today, I never permitted violence before. But from the days of John the Baptist to now, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And the violence, take it by force. You will take it by force today. Tested negative. Why? It's time to take our health. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Listen to me. Inasmuch as I believe in what the NCDC is doing, I believe in what they are doing, I believe in what's going on, only the power of God can chase out coronavirus. There are people that have put on mask, shield, and they wear face cap on top. And they still tested positive. Doctors are dying. Health workers are dying. Take the power of God. It's time to place demands. I'm saying this to someone here. This month will not end without laughter in your mouth. Wherever you are, upstairs, downstairs, outside, all over, this month will not end without laughter in your mouth. The God of heaven will surprise you on all sides. Every battle of your life, I decree victory on all sides. Every one of you hearing the sound of my voice, your life will not end up in regret. Your life will not end up in regret. All your wasted years, my God shall restore. Any one of you here who is being haunted, monitored by a strong man, paterna, materna, family line, an uncle, an aunt, anyone at all, who has constantly, diabolically monitored you by the power of the Holy Ghost, the assignment your hold over you is broken.
Amen.
Their hold over you is broken.
Amen.
Their hold over you is broken. Their hold over you is broken.
Amen.
Their hold over you
is broken.
Listen to me. Every one of you, listen to me. I beg you, in the name of God, I beg you, listen. Never ever feel bad when it appears your prayers are not answered. Never. Because there are some answers that God will hold waiting for the right time. Waiting for the right time. Listen to me. I'm a pastor. I've been preaching for some time. I saw somebody who I started preaching before. He got a plane. I was looking at it. I said, me that I've been preaching, I don't have a jet. I went to Mama. I said, honey, look at this book. Look at this book having plane. Me that I've been preaching, I'm preaching right. Naturally. And that's why I beg you, never feel bad. Don't feel bad. I prayed. I thought this will happen. Calm down. Just keep loving God. In fact, when you are not seeing the answer, God is watching your reaction. Never be offended. That's the kind of Christianity I want us to have as a ministry. People have been to places and they've contacted spirits because they want answer. They wait for 1 month, 2 months. Oh, where will I go? And watch sharp. Ozigbo anointing. Also some miracle. And they get problems into their lives. They get, in this church, there are things I've handled. People go, they'll come back. They get more problems. That's what the Bible says, when an evil spirit goes out of a person, he goes and to dry places, seeking rest. Matthew chapter 12. He findeth none and returns back with seven more wicked spirits. So the last state of that man is worse than the first. Never be offended with God. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you. I lose every step that I take. Every moment I'm away. Oh. it will keep you from bad weather. If you love God in all weather, it will keep you from bad weather. I ask today that the baptism of the love of God will fall upon our hearts. That you will follow God, you will love God in thick and thin. The shakings and the temptations of life will not take you out of the kingdom. I decree every battle that comes your way, you will win. You will dominate. You will subdue. You will take charge. You will control. You will control. You will subdue. You will dominate. You will take charge. In the name of Jesus. Your time has come. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Those of you under the gallery, don't worry. They are fixing light there tomorrow. So they are still working. That is why the place looks dark. We'll be young and solution service. If there's a man to pray, I decree that this season, left, right, front, behind, answers will surround you. I say answers will surround you. In the name of Jesus. Riaza tomorrow by 4 p.m. Hold an offering in your hand, Father. We thank you. We put a seal on all that we have received. In Jesus' name. I've been through thick and thin. I've been through trials. Nobody thought I would come out strong.
I come Emmanuel.
We know from the midst of my heart, I'm a living testimony.
Jesus, I come.
thank you. We bless your name. We receive grace. We receive strength. We receive zeal. We receive fresh fire. In Jesus' name. My head is a good hair. My life is a good one. Angels shall fight for me. Greatness is on my side. Goodness shall follow me. The matter of the matter is, I'll see you on Friday. God bless you.